Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Joanna, and I am really excited to be here with everyone today. This is our last training call for the Master Ritual and Facilitator program. I can't believe it. At least for me, it's gone by really quickly. And because it's our last training call, we do have one more Q&A call coming up. But because it's our last training call for this particular training, I wanted to do something a little bit, different isn't the right word, but I had this a very specific thing in mind. You know, I wanted to really make sure that we took a look at all together some special but really important facilitation circumstances. So circumstances that can come up when you're facilitating and also just when you're coaching that are rare. Most of these things are going to be doozies that I'm going to be talking about. So hopefully they're very, very, very rare. Hopefully they don't come up for you very often at all. Each of these things are things that have come up for me in all of my years of facilitating and coaching. I've facilitated a lot, so I've had a lot come up, and I really learned from these special circumstances and these just kind of like weird things that happen. And so I wanted to really really go deep into these special circumstances. I've got 10 of them. So that should they happen when you're facilitating or when you're coaching, you don't stress and you know exactly what to do. Some of these scenarios are actually really simple. We're not going to need to talk about them for too long. The answer may even be obvious, but I still want to go over it. And then some of these are more involved. They've got more meat to them. So what we'll do is I'll go through each of these 10 scenarios and explain them and explain ways of moving forward with them. And I think we'll still have time at the end for any Q&A, you know, any other pieces that you may want to cover today. So let's jump right in. So the first circumstance that's kind of special that I want to make you aware of, this one isn't so rare, the first one. This one can actually happen pretty often. It's happened quite often for me, and it will happen often for you if ultimately you end up running groups and facilitating groups that are ongoing, that members, I run a number of groups where members can continue year to year to year to year, so that it's not the kind of program where you just take it once and you're done, but the program grows with you. So if you end up facilitating circles like that where there are women that are continuing on, as well as women who are new, who are stepping in, maybe like for me, my programs often go September through August, and most of my clients, because I have a very high retention rate, most of my clients continue on. Every now and again, some spots will open up and we'll bring some new women in, or even, you know, in some of my programs where only half of the women continue on, right? And then, you know, we bring the other half new in. So if you're facilitating this kind of, you know, program that's ongoing and people can continue and also new people are coming in each cycle, you want to really think a lot and really take into consideration the community, right? The sisterhood. We've spoke a lot about sisterhood in both retreat one and also retreat two for those of you that were there. And, the sisterhood is always important. You always want to think about sisterhood at the beginning of any kind of training, at the beginning of any kind of program, even if it's a standalone retreat or workshop, right? But you want to take it even more into consideration when you are facilitating something where there's going to be women there who already know each other, who've already been with you in circle together with you, and then there are also going to be new women. Because, as I'm sure you can imagine, if you as a facilitator don't take this into consideration, and by the way, this can even happen if it's not like a continuous program like I was talking about, but maybe you just offer a standalone retreat once a year, and there are a lot of women that come year after year, and then there are new women that come to it also, right? So as a facilitator, you really want to take this into consideration, because as I'm sure you can imagine, what can happen if you don't integrate this into your facilitation is that people are going to end up feeling left out, because there either is an actual pre-existing clique, women that are really tight that maybe aren't so open to newcomers, whether they realize it or not, or even if that's actually not the case with the women that are continuing on with you, they're still going to be perceived as a clique because they already know each other. They already know you well. They already know each other well. They've already been through intimate experiences. They you know, likely already know each other's fears or blind spots or vision or part of their personality. And so it can oftentimes be awkward for new women to walk into this situation, particularly if there's a critical amount of continuing women in there. So as the facilitator, what do you do if you've got this going on? Well, first of all, you just congratulate yourself, because if you retain clients, that's awesome and amazing. And, you know, at least I'll just say as a side note, you know, there's some coaches that don't like to work with their clients long term. They're kind of like go and launch their clients and then they like to move on to the next. For me personally, I love working with women long term. A lot of my clients tend to sign up to different programs with me, stay with me for a while. You know, the more that our relationship deepens, the even more effective I am at being able to support them. So first of all, just congratulate yourself if you've got that going on. Also because it means you've had to do less marketing, right? Because you don't have to fill an entire program. But then what do you actually do to help all of the women, right? To help the sisterhood, to help the circle become one. Well, the most important thing, as we've already learned, when there's any kind of resistance, and I'd say a scenario like this, there is a resistance, right? You always want to call it out. You want to name it. Anytime there's going to be anything niggly or weird or something that might put people into resistance, you want to upend that as a facilitator, and you want to name it. So for me, you know, because I also work in ritual, what I'll do is I'll name it, and then I'll do a ceremony to integrate all of the women. So how do I name it? Usually at the first retreat of the program, you know, after I set the container, after, you know, we come into circle, after we initiate the circle, I will straight up say, there are familiar faces in this circle, women who have been in this particular circle before, who know me well, who know each other well, and I'm so, so happy that those women are here. And I also want to name that there are new women that are coming into the circle, women that are here for the first time, women that maybe don't know me as well yet, women who don't know the other women in the circle. And what I want everyone here to know is that my intention is for all of us to come together as a unified sisterhood. My intention is that old connections, already established connections, get even stronger, get even more intimate, while at the same time, many new connections and intimate relationships are formed. It is my intention that the women that have been in this circle stay close, but also open up to receive their new sisters as full equals. And it is my intention that the new women coming in feel comfortable to show up fully, feel included as part of the group. And so I just want to pause right here, right now, and say you may have, on either side, whether you've been here before or you're coming in new, like, you may have some weird feelings, right? There may be some weird feelings of, oh my gosh, the circle is different than it's been before. Oh my gosh, I feel so comfortable with the women that I already know. Like, will I be able to be comfortable with the new women? Will they, you know, accept me? And if you're new, you know, you might have some nigglies going around in your mind, in your heart, around, will I be accepted here? Am I welcome here? Will I be taken in here? And it is so normal to have those feelings, and that I know, based on the women that are here, that we will all come together. And then from there, what I would do is I would lead a little ritual or a little ceremony to really honor the women that have been committed for a while, that continue to show up. And also to honor the new women coming in and to ritually make it a whole circle. So, you know, one way that you can do this, one way that I've done it in the past, this is so beautiful and works really well, is I will ask first the women that have been there before to step forward, to take a step forward into the circle. And then I'll really honor those women. I'll have them be seen. I'll say really beautiful things about them as a whole, not about each individual one, about their commitment and how they've shown up here and how they, you know, how they are holding the energy of this circle and what it means to continue and what it means for them and, you know, what a gift it is for all of us. And then I'll very purposefully ask those women that have stepped in, the ones that have been holding the circle, to turn around, to see their new sisters, to open up their arms, and then I'll speak some beautiful words about the new sisters as a whole. And then I will very purposefully ask the women on the inside circle to outstretch their arm, to take the arms of the new women and bring them in, right? And ask the new women to purposefully step in. And then we'll do some work around being seen, right? So that's one way. And it's quick. It doesn't have to take up too much time, but it'll be so well worth your time and effort to do it, because then your container will be stronger. Your sisterhood will be stronger. There'll be less niggly feelings. People will really be able to show up fully. Another ritual that I like to do, and it's a little bit hard to describe over the phone, it's something that really needs to be demonstrated. Although some of the women, you know, in this circle that I'm talking to, you've experienced what I'm about to just share with you. If you've been in Soulful Leader Intensive or, you know, some of my business retreats, you know, I've done, a ritual that really helps find the circle where I have a very long piece of twine, really, really long piece of twine. And what we'll do is we'll create almost like a spider's web. We'll create a web of the circle with the twine, right? So I'll still give my talk, name it, you know, name what's going on. And then each woman will find a woman in the circle to throw the twine to. And then, you know, the twine keeps on going around the circle until every woman has held, is holding a piece of the twine. And it creates this beautiful, beautiful web. And we may chant with the web and maybe, you know, dance in a little bit of a trancey way around the circle with the web. And that's another way where you can just really bring together the older women and the newer women. All right, so let me pause here before we go into our next scenario. Let me bring us into lecture mode. Anyone have any questions on that scenario, old women and new women coming together? Start to. Okay, great. So let's continue on. So next scenario, this is one that I hope that nobody in this circle will experience as a facilitator, but chances are if you're really going to do a lot of facilitation, you at some point, at least once, you will experience this. And it's never an easy thing or a pleasant thing or, you know, a joyful thing. It's always going to be right. Hopefully it'll always be aligned, but it's not always so much fun from the facilitator point of view. And that's if a woman chooses to leave the circle, or if you as the facilitator choose to ask someone to leave. And what I'm talking about here is not so much at a, you know, standalone retreat, so much as, let's say, you are running a year-long program or a nine-month program, and it's a tight circle of women, and you know, for any particular reason, someone has to leave. Again, hopefully it won't happen very often, but it can happen. You know, I've had it happen to me where, you know, one client many years ago got cancer halfway through, and she really needed to take care of herself. But she asked to step out of the circle, and it was really right, and it was really aligned. Sometimes, you know, if somebody is sick, that's a little bit easier than if someone just decides halfway through, this isn't for me, or, you know, I don't want to be here anymore, or if you just see that they're not coachable or they're not aligned for the group. You know, sometimes, hopefully, if you do your marketing well, you'll draw in all ideal clients. But sometimes, you know, we miss someone that's not aligned, and we don't know until we're in. So if you have someone that is leaving the group, again, we always want to really name things. You know, I've spoken to a lot of facilitators who are just like, you know, maybe I shouldn't mention anything, or maybe I should just, you know, quickly say, you know, such and such isn't here, or, you know, I know that the group didn't really like her so much anyway, so maybe it'll just be okay and we can just, you know, jump in. But the truth is, even if the person wasn't aligned for the group, it is a break in the container if someone leaves and then it's not addressed and the container then isn't tightened up, right? So you can totally continue on with a very tight container if someone leaves, but only if you as the facilitator handles it the right way and then tightens the container up. So how do you handle it? Well, this is how I like to handle it. I don't like to make too big of a deal out of it, right? It doesn't warrant, unless there's something, you know, tragic that's happened, it doesn't warrant a big, big, big deal, but you still wanna to name it and do some work, some facilitation work around it. So, you know, oftentimes what I will do is I'll say, you know, such and such has chosen to leave the circle. And, you know, out of confidentiality, and also just, you know, for the circle itself, like, I'm not going to share the details, but if I feel it's appropriate, I will share, you know, I will share something within the realm of confidentiality on why the person left, like literally two words, not more than that, you know, because of blah. So, you know, such and such it has chosen to step out of the circle, or, you know, such and such and I together have decided that it makes the most sense for her to step out of the circle. And maybe I'll say because, and then I'll say, I personally, of course, I'm very sad that she will no longer be on this journey with us, but I do truly believe and know in my heart that not only was this the best decision for her, but that truly this was the most aligned decision for this whole entire circle. Because this wasn't aligned for Jennifer, you know, whoever, if she would have continued on, it would have held this circle back. So I send her much love. I'm so happy and grateful for the time that she's been with us. And also I fully release her from this circle, so that we can continue on our journey in the most effective ways, in the most intimate ways, in the most empowered ways. And to me, as the leader of this group, what's most important isn't who's not in the room. What's most important to me, what I know is most important, is who is in this room. If you are in this room, it is because you are a woman who is fully committed to herself. It is because you are a woman who is willing to put yourself and your work in the world first and show up. If you're in this room, it's because you're meant to be here. And so with that, let's all hold hands. Let's feel our sister's hand in ours. Close your eyes. Feel this container coming together. Feel that the exact right women that are meant to be here are here. Feel the power of this circle. Feel the flow in this circle. Feel the energy in this circle. Take your rightful place here, right? And then I'll ask them to take a deep breath in and out. And then we'll just move on from there. So again, 3 minutes, 4 minutes tops. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but if someone leaves the circle, you do want to name it. Same thing if someone new, you know, sometimes in the middle of a cycle, it'll just make total sense. You connect with a prospect, and it's like, oh my God, you're perfect for this group. We're already a third of the way in or a half of the way in, but I you as the facilitator, not out of need to sign a client, but because you as the facilitator really feel like it's right for this person to step into the circle. So, you know, every now and again, this should be rare. It shouldn't be happening all the time. Every now and again, you might bring someone in a third of the way or, you know, halfway, whatever. So same thing, right? You don't want to make a big, big deal, but you want to name it, and then you want to tighten, have her come into the circle and then reset the container with this new person in the circle. As we've learned over and over and over again, when you don't name things, that's when they fester, even if they're not something bad, right? It's like good for a new person is coming in. But if you don't name it, then there's like weird thoughts about it, right? Like what's happening, what's going on, you that kind of thing. So you always want to name it. So let me pause there. Any questions, star two, around women stepping out of a group and how to handle it, or women stepping into the group and how to handle it? Okay, great. So let's continue on. So I want to just mention this next scenario briefly. It's one that in all of my years of coaching and teaching and facilitating and circling and ritualing and all of that, it's one that never happened until very recently. And it was a situation, this is actually the first time I'm publicly talking about this situation. I really wanted to share some pieces of it with all of you because it was such a learning experience for me. It was a situation that was very painful and very, very challenging for me personally. And I realized that I've been facilitating for so long that I think I just lucked out that this hasn't happened before. I mean, yes, it's because, you know, of my mastery in my skills. It definitely has helped. But I can see how I lucked out and how this is probably, you know, could happen. So I just want to make you aware. I recently had a situation. I have some private clients that are private clients. They're very, very high-level private clients, and they're also part of a circle. And we've been circling together for many, many years, for 7 years now, if you can believe it. I've been working with this group of women, and I have very, very close, intimate relationships with them, and these are all women that, you know, have built over the years really very considerable businesses. They're women that I know every single part of their business inside and out. They're women that I know all about them, their stories, their family stories, their fears, their shadows, and they know a lot about me. I really, when I work with my private clients, I mean, hopefully I've revealed a lot to all of you too, but I reveal as much as I can, you know, for if it's going to be valuable and helpful. And so a very, very close relationship. And unfortunately, one of the women in the group that has a personality disorder, and I've always known that she has a personality disorder, and she's been on medication for that, and we've always had a beautiful relationship. Unfortunately, one of the women, I'm not sure if she stopped taking her medication or if something just shifted for her chemically. She had some triggers going on, a parent being very, very ill, and you know, things like that. Anyway, without getting into too many of the details, she really shifted and started projecting a lot onto me. And of course I can take, you know, as we've looked at particularly in level two of this program, like I get projection. There's a lot of resistance can come up, all of that. But you know, there's a difference between resistance and projection that can be coached, and then resistance and projection that is a psychological issue. You know, something that's really a mental health issue. That's not it's just not in the scope of expertise for someone who isn't trained as a mental health professional. And so, you know, without getting into too many details, it took me, even though I'm usually really good at knowing when something is happening that's not a coaching or facilitation or circle, you know, within that scope, that it's within the scope of more of a mental health, even though I'm usually really good at noticing that pretty quickly, it took a couple of weeks for me to really get this about this woman. And I am sure that the reason why it took me a couple of weeks is simply just because we have such a long-standing, intimate relationship, and I think I just didn't, maybe there was a part of me that didn't want to see it. But anyway, it was a very, very hard couple of weeks with a lot of pain on her end and a lot of, you know, I couldn't do anything right and anytime I tried to de-escalate things, somehow they would just escalate. And it turns out that she really erupted in the group on a group call, and, you know, as she was trying to sabotage herself, she also was sabotaging the group. And it wasn't the kind of sabotage that we've spoken about, you know, when it comes to shadow or resistance again, because this was truly a mental health issue. Anyway, I had to ask her to leave the program. I actually, you know, wanted to ask her to freeze her program just for a short while she could get the support she needed, and then to come back into the circle. It's someone who I love dearly and, you know, just very cherished deeply, deeply, but because of her situation, she wasn't able to hear that and just heard me rejecting her and just decided she was out. But it was very hard and very painful. And then, you know, on top of that, I had to go to tell the circle, the women that know her so well, about this. And that was a situation where I made the choice to not tell them as a group. It was such a delicate and tender situation that I knew there would be lots of feelings around that would probably require some discussion for some of the women. So I made the decision to call. It was very time consuming. It was right before my winter break. But it was something I was committed to doing for everybody's sake and for the integrity of the circle. And so I committed to calling each and every woman in that circle and having a conversation with her about it. And, again, nothing I ever wish anyone to go through, but here's what I'll say is that it was a really good call for me to handle that situation in the way that I did. And then on our next group call, because we don't meet together, we weren't meeting in person together for a while, but then in our next group call, which was soon thereafter, I just quickly made note. I said, I know that we're a smaller group now. I want to honor, right? I just did a little bit of honoring and tightening the container as the group, and then we moved on. So, but what I will say is that this group, I could never have imagined that the circle of women could ever be closer than they already had been the last few years. But the circle of women is even closer now than they had been before. And it could have gone either way depending on how I handled the situation. So hopefully not a scenario that you'll find yourself in more than once or twice ever, but it's one that I wanted to note for you. Okay, now we can, we'll take a look at a couple that are kind of easier to look at, and then some other harder ones too. Okay, so here's another situation that can show up when you're facilitating and you want to just be able to think quick. So what happens if you've got a retreat or a workshop and a number of women registered, a number of women said they were coming, but then way less people show up than you were expecting? So you want to work with that, right? So you want to think quickly, for sure, and there's a couple things you want to do. We've probably looked at some of these already, some of the actions you want to take. But number one, if you have the room set up for 20 people and only 10 are showing up, you want to quickly get rid of the extra chairs, make it a room for 10, reset anything in the room so that the container is perfect, like perfectly holds 10, so that it's not set to hold 20, but so that feels in perfect alignment so that the environment can hold that container. And then what you want to do is, you know, usually if you have more people in a group, there's less opportunity for one-on-one work, you know, for intimacy, for all of that. So then you kind of want to, as you're going through, you want to insert assert more opportunities for sharing, for intimacy, for working with people one-on-one, you know, for masterminding. You want to play, you always want to play off the strength of any situation that you're in, right? And when you end up in a smaller situation than you thought, you want to play off that strength, right? Because small groups, big groups are awesome, but small groups have their own, you know, specialness to them that can be very, very powerful. You know, sometimes if I've had an exercise where I know, you know, if there's 20 women in the room, you know, we don't have time for every woman to do the exercise. I might do like a demo or a demonstration with one woman and then have women, you know, go off into pairs and do it on their, you know, like on their own. But if for whatever reason, all of a sudden I have only 10 women in the room and I do have time, I will do each woman one by one by one, have her go through that process, right? Can be so powerful, right? So you want to think like, where can I switch things up and really play to the strength of the situation? A related scenario that I just want to mention, this came up, I think someone in this group actually sent me, I can't remember now, I think someone in this group sent me an email about this, or else, anyway, what do you do if you have partner exercises planned, but then one less person shows up, and then you don't have an even amount of people to partner up? Well, there's a couple of different things that you can do, right? This happens a lot, actually, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I had the perfect amount of partners, and now I don't. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this exercise? So, first of all, if it's an exercise where people can be divided into three instead of two, and your group is divisible by three, then that's a super easy fix. Just switch it up. If that's not the case, if it's an exercise that can't be done by three or the numbers, you know, can't be divided into three, then you want to consider, can you, and this is something you have to like really think about, right, but are you able to be the partner? Can you as the facilitator act as the partner? Will you still be able to facilitate the exercise and stand in as the partner? And there have been a number of times, I don't love to do it, right, but there have been a number of times where I've stood in as the partner. Another solution is to always have an assistant in the room, or like a comped person that's helping you out in the room or something like that. It works really well if you ever need an extra body for a partner exercise, right? You've always got an extra body that can stand in for a partner if need be. And then the last solution, if this comes up, is like if none of the other solutions work, you can have everybody go do the partner exercise and then just have one, you know, odd group, like then do it again just for the extra group. Or you can kind of divide the group into half and first have all the half people go, half the group go while everybody observes them, you know, if it's something that can be observed. And then that can be a learning opportunity to be on the observing end, and you break that down as the facilitator, and then you can have the second half of the people go with a stand-in partner from the first group and have folks observe. So let's pause there before we look at some more scenarios. I know I'm kind of going through them quickly, but I just want to check in. Any questions on people not showing up, either for partners or just like it's way less people than you thought? Star two. Tammy.
Hi.
Hi.
I was the one actually who talked about that.
I was going to say, as soon as you raised your hand, I'm like, I think it was Tammy.
Yeah, like my group, my moon circle went from like 12 to like 8 or 7, must have been 7, mm-hmm. very quickly. And I had to definitely like think, on my feet at that moment, because there was someone who didn't show up, like, that morning, like, literally that morning. I didn't know. I was like, where are you? So I was, like, thinking about it through, because it was, like, the last exercise. It was the vocalization one, and I was like, okay, let me think. And so I ended up partnering with her, and it worked out fine. It wasn't, like, the ideal scenario, but I felt like she needed support, like, in that way. So I just felt it out, and, you know, it worked out fine. But it's good. Because of that small group, I did get to do more group share versus, like, sharing in twos. So that, again, I kind of worked through that. But my question is, I'm terrified to have too big of a group, so I'm, like, scared to book, like, too many people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, how I can work that out, because my space really fits 10 very comfortably, and I might need to just change, like, my mind frame, because I could go bigger, but just spreads us out into two rooms that are connected, but it's still, like, it feels a little disjointed for me. When we're in circle, we're in one group, but it's like when we're doing, because we do movement in my circles, and they need space to kind of move a little bit. So I'm just, 10 is, like, a great number, but 12 is, like, pushing it. And then I'm just thinking, do I, like, go for 15 and just kind of see what happens? Like, I don't know.
So I would love for you to go for 15 and see what happens, knowing that it's an experiment. Here's why. Okay. I don't think you'd be bringing the question up unless you had a deep desire to go bigger. I think there's a part of you that does, and I think that there's a part of you that's really meant to. And I don't think you're going to know until you try and do it.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So you can even name that, like, at the beginning of a circle, like, this is an experiment. We've only ever had 10 women, and now there's 15. And it's going to be amazing no matter what. And hopefully we're not going to all bump into each other. Let's see how this goes. Right?
Right. I guess
from there.
If I think about it, actually, because my baby lab are usually, like, I keep it pretty small, but this week it was, like, 7 women with their babies in this room, and it was big, but I, like, managed it. So I guess that's kind of my answer there, too. Like, I just, like, went with it, and it happened, so.
Yeah, I think you should. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
Good. So let's have the goal for the next one be 15, and let's just see what happens. Or 16,
okay.
Or 14 or 16 if you want even a number.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, great. Yeah, you're welcome. I just realized there's one other solution, really elegant solution. If you thought you were going to have all partners, but you have an extra one person, you can do a demo first with whatever the partner exercise is, that, and then that's that extra, whoever the extra, right, the extra one, that's their turn, and then you can have everyone then go into their partners, right? And then the person that you did the demonstration with, maybe they can just act as, like, a sacred witness to one of the partner groups. So that's just another easy, elegant way to solve the partner problem. All right, let's talk quickly about the next scenario, which is, like, what if there's snow or inclement weather or crazy, I know when I'm doing stuff in New York, like crazy traffic, subway, closing down, you have something where, like, a lot of people either can't get there or get there late, right? And it's happened to me where there's been big snowstorms and all of that. So if that's the case, a couple of things. So first of all, I have a client who just a couple months ago, she lives up in Maine, and she was doing a retreat, and it, total snow, like, everything shut down. People couldn't get to her. Some people could. I think it was like 3 people could, and then nobody else could get to her. And she called me up in a panic. She's like, what should I do? And I said, do the retreat, right? How can you do this virtually? How can you set this up with it, you know, with the computer? And, you know, there might be some experiential things that you're not going to be able to do that you were planning on doing. And that is sad and, you know, hard to take. But how can you do this virtually. And it was a day or two before, because I think like a big storm was coming. So like she knew that there were going to be issues, and she worked it out, and the women loved it. The reason why I told her to do it as opposed to not was because once you have a critical amount of people that have committed to free up their schedules for a certain day, it is very hard to reschedule, right? You really don't want to reschedule a retreat, particularly last minute, unless you have to. In the traffic situation, you know, it's like there's no exact science, or you have a situation where it's bad weather and people are getting there late. There's no exact science, but you want to see, like, will there be a critical amount of women people in the room or not? If a critical amount of people can be in the room on time, then you want to start on time. Again, you always want to name it, right? You want to say, I've made the decision to start on time, even though X amount of people are still on their way because of the traffic. We're going to set the intention to come together in a very strong way, and then just beautifully welcome the people as they come in to circle and tighten the container, right? You just want to name it. If there aren't a critical amount of people, you want to think about postponing. Okay, we'll start at 10 instead of 9, that kind of thing. And I've had to do that once, even here in Charlotte. Okay. I want to leave time for Q&A, so I'll just share a couple others here. This next one is easy. Hopefully this one won't happen very often either, but again, this is a common sense one, but I just want to name it, you know, because I facilitate so much and because of the craziness of our world over the last few years, there has been more than one occasion where I have facilitated a retreat that's come right after a terrorist attack or right after just something awful, a hurricane, you know, whatever it is, a big world event that is tragic and traumatic. And again, you want to name that, right? Even if it's not related to the work that you're doing at all, if you know that people are coming in and something big has happened and that there are emotions and you know, all of that, you don't have to do any exercises to address it, but you want to name it, right? And you want to name that, you want to share how you feel. I'm sad about this. I'm shaken up about this. I'm right. You want to name all of that. And what I also really like to do is name that, like, thank goodness we had this retreat at this exact time. It is no mistake that we are coming together, and all the work that we're going to be doing, you know, will be about healing, you know, this and that. And then in those situations, you know, for those of you that were at level 2, I will always at some point in that retreat do a cone of power that's specifically about sending out prayers for, you know, whatever just happened, right? So that is the exercise that I will integrate in. So, you know, the other thing is if a life event happens for someone, right? If in between retreats, one of the people, this has happened to me many times, you know, if in between retreats, someone in the circle has lost a parent or gotten divorced or whatever it is, you know, it might be in private that I name it, but I will make sure towards the beginning of that retreat, you know, that I get face to face with that woman and that we acknowledge, right? We'll probably have already acknowledged on the phone or over email, you know, whatever it is, but I want to, you know, you want to acknowledge that, right? So that they can be fully present. If you have a group that's small enough and intimate enough, you know, like that group of private clients that I had that I was telling you about, you know, I always, even if it means we go half hour on a day or something, if someone has a big thing, a divorce, a death, a wedding, a baby coming, you know, like anything, I'll spend half hour and we'll do a ritual in the circle, you know, on the spot, not anything that I think out too much. Actually, we did that a little bit for Lexi, right, at part one. She was about to go off to her engagement party or something like that, right? So we did a little ritual. So, but especially in smaller groups, I do like to honor that if I can, if I have time, you know, in the curriculum. Okay, last one that we'll cover today. This is a bigger one. This is more of a biggie, and this is something that can happen more often than you would think. It's if there's a critical amount of people in a group. This is less of a retreat, more of like maybe an ongoing situation, a 6 month, a 12 month. By the way, a lot of these scenarios are not just for in-person. They're if you're facilitating online as well. But yes, sometimes it can happen that there are enough people that you see in a group that you're facilitating that aren't moving forward in the ways that you know that they can be. If it's one person, you just address it with that one person separately. But if it's a critical number, if it's a percentage of people, you know, at least a third, you want to address that as a group, right? So it can be really, really powerful, and hopefully this won't happen, you know, too often because you're all so masterful, but it just sometimes there's a lot of resistance for whatever reason. People just come in with a lot of resistance and they're not moving forward or, you know, whatever it is, or maybe you just started off and you didn't set the container of the program strongly enough, and it's loosey-goosey container, not just for retreats, but just like the container of the program in general. So you always, as a facilitator, can reset the group and can reset the container. I always like to name what is. So if that happens, you know, it has happened to me once or twice in the past where I've had to have like a tough love, come to Jesus talk with the group about resistance, about showing up, about why they're there, and have them reset their intentions, reset their deep why, reset their commitment. I reset my commitment to them. Okay, I know I've spoken a lot. I always end up talking way more than I intend to. But I did want to leave. We've got a couple minutes at the end here just for any questions on anything that I've mentioned or any other questions related to facilitation, to ritual, to curriculum. How can I help you guys? Star two. I know I spoke really quickly. Hopefully you were taking in the different pieces. Or if you can think of another kind of special situation that happens that you want some support on. Star two. Okay. Inball.
Hi, everyone. I jumped in. I'm curious about, I have this fear that that I haven't used my skills in a really long time. And that because it's been a while since I've done a retreat or any kind of circle, like in terms of the journey. And in the last call, I was thinking about, yeah, that maybe what came to me when we were doing the grounding in the beginning is about doing, you know, maybe like a half day one. But yeah, it's just this fear that's kind of like, you know, use it or lose it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there isn't really like a question. I just really was compelled to share that.
Yeah. So, I hear that, and I think that that's so normal, right, and so common. You know, I haven't facilitated in a while. I haven't, you know, whatever it is, you know, will I be able to do it? Will those skills be able to be activated? So, I'm just wondering if there's a part of you that knows a higher truth around this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it'll, you know, like it'll be there. I have, you know, I have notes, I have experiences. Like, I'm sure that it's, you know, it's in me somehow. Like, when, you know, maybe not as fluid as it would have been, a year ago. And I'm trying to see, like, how, if this fear, like, can help me see if I do want to do some sort of retreat or not.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay, so a couple things. So first of all, you're right. Like, maybe first time back, you may not be as fluid as you were, although I think there's just as good of a chance that you will be, right? But that is a possibility. But even so, what I really hear you saying is, like, you know you have it inside of you. And this is a point that I really want to underscore for you and everybody in this circle. Like, Inbalt, you own all of your experiences and all of your experience. You own it. Nobody can take it away from you. Time can't take it away from you. It's inside of you. When you facilitate or coach, it's like it becomes a part of you. The skill becomes a part of who you are because it is, and also because so much that you bring to it is it's always been you because you bring so much of yourself to it. So don't forget that. It's there for you. It doesn't take that much to get reactivated. It really doesn't. So then from there, you know, the question of how can you tell if you want to do it or not?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
So here's what I'll suggest for now, because I don't think this is we don't have enough time. You know, we'd probably need like 20, 30 minutes to like coach it out.
Right.
So instead, I'm going to give you an exercise. I want you to spend 3 days, a full 3 days, walking around, talking, thinking, planning, you know, everything like you are going to do it. And then I want you to spend 3 days walking, talking, planning like you're not, like there's no way in hell you were going to. And see how they feel different and what feels like what.
Okay, and I don't need to know the details of like when I would do it or not, but just the idea
mm-hmm.
of whether or not I'd do it.
Yeah, I'd say like let's pretend it's sometime in the next 6 months. So it's not far out, so far out in the future. Or if you want to do 4 months, you know, whatever time period feels right for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks.
You're welcome. Erin.
Hi. I know we have a couple minutes left, so I'll try to keep it really short. But, you know, when you were sharing about the situation, you know, with the one woman that, you know, just – it was the right thing for her, you know, to leave the group, and obviously it was painful and whatnot. I have one gal that, just wondering, like, when do you know it's time to just, to release them? I mean, they're not, like, doing a, you know, scenes and things like that, but I feel like, I guess, do you? And if so, how do you know? And if you do know, how do you actually do that? This woman, she's just been amazing, complete resistance, and we've had one-on-one talks before about it, and she's so blind to it, she just won't even allow herself to go there at all. And I think it frustrates her because she sees some of the women around her in the group getting, you know, like really great results, but then I've noticed she's kind of gets upset with me a little bit. So I just feel like my energy is really going towards that, and I don't know if it's time for me to release her or, I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a good question. Let me ask you a couple things about her. So it sounds like you've had some conversations about the resistance. Have you had some conversations about your sense that she's getting angry and frustrated with you?
Not that so much, just the resistance more than anything. We've had 2 discussions about that, but not the actual.
And
you know.
When you check in with your inner wisdom,
mm-hmm.
is there anything that like what would, here, I'll ask this question. When you check in with your intuition, what would need to shift in order for her to really be aligned and really get what she needs from the circle?
To really let go and release everything that she's holding on to.
Yeah. And when you check in with your intuition, do you sense that she's willing, ultimately
no.
would be willing to do that? No?
Mm-mm.
So then you have your answer right there.
Okay.
Right? I know it's not easy, but if you know in your heart that she's not willing to
yeah.
do what it needs, you know, what needs to happen. And again, you know, the important part here, and I want everybody to hear this, is that if she wouldn't be frustrated with herself, if she would be hunky-dory about how things are going, that would be different. That would be your filter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if she is frustrated and projecting onto you and in resistance and wants something more, and you know she's not willing to do what it takes,
mm-hmm.
then it is to the service of her and you and everyone involved to let her go. So then we come to the question of how to do it, which is hard, but
yeah.
is very doable. So, you know, because I don't know all the details and the ins and outs, I'll give you two options. So, like, for me, if it's someone who I am 95% sure is this is not going to happen, 95% or more, what I would do is I would come to, you know, have a conversation with her, and I would say, I know that you're not moving forward in the ways that you want. I know that you're not accomplishing what you want. I know that you're not taking everything that's available here for you. And I've been really thinking so much about it because I really want to do whatever I can to serve and support you. And what I really see is the only way that I can see that it would make sense for you to continue is if you would be willing to release, right, and then whatever it is that you know she needs to release that you were saying before,
mm-hmm.
right? So you would be,
yeah.
you would be willing to release this. Because if you're not willing to release this, it's like we're at a standstill. This is what's blocking you from moving forward, and you're just going to keep on getting frustrated, and I'm not going to feel good continuing to, support you when I know I can't if you're not willing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to ask you, you know, are you really willing, even if it's going to be hard, are you really willing to release this thing, to be called out when you slip back into it, to stay, to really hold a tight container with yourself around this? And usually, like, when you ask that question, the truth rises to the surface.
Yes.
And if she says yes, then I would make, like, either a 14-day or a 30-day, like, this needs to happen in the next 14 days, and we'll check in then. And then if it doesn't happen, you know, then we'll, you know, I will release you from the group. Now,
okay.
If you just feel like you don't want to have that conversation, basically, you can share everything I just shared, but instead of asking if she's willing, say, and because I know that you're not ready to release that, that it's just not the right season, that there's still other work that you need to do before releasing it, my sense is that it would be best if you stepped away, and of course, I will welcome you with open arms when you're ready.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to be pretty, okay? I don't want to say, like, it could be, but it also might not be, and that's okay.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, if she doesn't even realize that she's holding on, you know, to things, she takes care of everybody else, and she refuses to take care of herself. And so therefore she doesn't she's not receiving anything, and yet then she still and she always has excuses, but yes, of why she can't do this, that, and everything else, and then gets incredibly defensive because, you know, obviously that's a threat, right? It's taking away her security, her this belief she's held on to, but you know, she'll come right at me with the resistance, and she's like, I'm not in resistance at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So I just like,
don't talk about the resistance piece. Talk about the thing that you know she's not willing to do. So it's just in black and white.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Guys, you're welcome. Thank you, everyone. I'm thinking about all of you. And I'll talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.